Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A local church had begun having healing services. At the end of one of those services, the pastor invited people to come forward if they wanted some pastors and elders to pray for them. About midway through the line of people stood a big, intimidating, somewhat gruff-looking man. When the minister asked about his prayer request, the man said, "Reverend, I need you to pray for my hearing." The evangelist got very excited. The pastor got his faith up and he placed his hands over the man's ears and he prayed fervently for restored hearing. When the minister finished praying, he looked the man squarely in the eyes and shouted above the worship music that was playing, "How's your hearing now?" And the man replied, "I don't know yet, preacher. My hearing ain't till next Wednesday in the courthouse." As we begin our new sermon series, Made for Community, looking at the things that God wants us to do for one another, on this very first week, we're going to be looking at this. God wants us to pray for one another. We're going to be looking here today in the book of James, chapter 5, where it talks about praying for one another. But it starts out talking about if you're in this situation or that situation, this is what you are to do as Christians. He says, "Is anyone among you in trouble?" And who amongst us is not in trouble sometimes, right? Is anyone among you in trouble? What are we to do? Let them pray. Now notice that it doesn't say, "Is anyone in trouble? Let them make sure you worry about it. Make sure you get angry. Make sure you get depressed. Make sure you try to fix it yourself." No, it doesn't say any of those things, does it? It says, when you and I get into trouble, and troubles can come in a lot of different ways, it says, let them pray. So that's number one. Well, it's a good thing that every day isn't a day of trouble. There are good days too. So he says, is anyone happy? Is anyone having a great day? What do? Sing songs of praise. Why? Because in the same book of James, it says that every good thing that comes into our life is from God who loves us. And so it's no accident that a good thing is happening in our life. And so who deserves the praise? He does. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone among you happy? Let them sing songs of praise. And then he says, is anyone among you sick? And once again, who amongst us is never sick? We all get sick from time to time. Well, when that happens, what do? Call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, the first thing I want you to notice here is this. The onus is on the person that's sick, right? It doesn't say elders, pastors, go to that person. It says, no, you go to or call the elders or the pastors of the church and have them come to you and pray over you. And so it says, then when they come, they will anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord and pray over them. Now, maybe you've said this, and who amongst us as Christians hasn't, right? You hear somebody's sad story and you say, I'll pray for you. Now, what does that usually mean? That means, you know what, some point when I get home and things are kind of settled down, I'll take some time to pray for you. And that's a good thing to do that. You don't have to be right there with the person for those prayers to be effective. Paul knew that. In 2 Corinthians 1, he said, on God we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. They were not with Paul. Paul was in a different place, but those prayers were making a difference. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So it's a good thing to say, I'll pray for you, as long as you go home and do it, right? How many amongst us have said, I'll pray for you, then you go home and things get busy, and pretty soon, it's not till the next time you see the person and go, you know what, I was supposed to pray for that person, dear God. And you start real quick, right? We've all been there. What it's talking about here in James chapter 5 is not this. It's talking about not so much praying for you from a distance away, but praying for you, over you, right then and there. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Last week, we talked a little bit about oil. Oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. And so when you put oil on somebody, you're saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill this person with power and heal this person. Look with favor. I know you look with favor upon all your people, but right now, may this person be the apple of your eye. May the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus now hover over this person and bring the healing that they need. And then look at the promise that we have associated with this. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. When God promises something, He doesn't lie. God isn't like us. Look at what it says in Numbers 23. God is not human that He would lie, or not a human being that He would change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? And the answer is never. God doesn't just speak all willy-nilly. When He promises something, He fully intends on keeping it. So when God promises something, you can and should put your trust in it. Look at what it says in James 2. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, as he was called God's friend. God intends us. He expects us to read His promises and then believe those promises with all our heart and follow through on it. In fact, when Abraham did that, God said, you're my friend because you did that. Even when it's an amazing promise like this one, if we pray over the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, He says, I want you to believe this, that something is going to happen. We said this at our healing service last night. We had a whole row of people, almost all the way back to the door, that wanted healing prayer last night. And we said, something is going to happen because God doesn't ignore His kids. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen, but something is going to happen because of this promise. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And then He goes on to say, if they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Most of the time, I think we're always concerned about each other's physical health, and as well we should be. But God is concerned about the whole you, the whole me, our physical self, but also our spiritual self as well. We see that in Isaiah 53. It says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Because God wants us to be whole, not only physically, but spiritually. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, God took all of the sins of the whole world, your sin, my sin, everyone's sin, and put it on the back of Jesus. And Jesus paid for every single sin for us. That's the gospel. But it wasn't just sin that was on Jesus' back. In Matthew 8, it says, Jesus drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and He bore our diseases as well. So what was on the back of Jesus when He was on that cross? All of the sins of the world, so that you and I could be healed spiritually, but also all of the sicknesses and diseases were on him as well, and he paid for them also. Why? Once again, because God loves the whole you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have an abundant life. And that means that you would be healed spiritually and that you would be healed physically. In Psalm 103, we see this. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all the benefits that come along with believing in him. What does he do? He forgives you all your sins, and he heals all your diseases. Spiritually and physically, he loves the whole you. And so God says, pray for each other. It says in verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other, that's spiritually, and pray for each other, that's physically, that you may be healed. God wants us to pray for one another. God wants us to hold each other accountable. God wants us to confess our sins to one another because he wants the whole you to be well. The Bible says that if we conceal our sin, if we hide them away in the dark, then we can never be whole. God wants us to be whole spiritually and physically. And so he says, come together as a family. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other that you may be completely healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, maybe you've been right with me up until this point, but maybe you saw that word righteous up there and maybe you're thinking, me? Righteous? If the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, I can't be sure that my prayers are going to be powerful and effective because I know my sin. I know the things that I've done in my thoughts, in my words, and in my actions. I'm far from righteous, Pastor. Well, maybe this will be give you some peace. In Romans 3, it says this, but now, apart from the law, apart from being a good person, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness that God gives is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Listen, none of us are righteous on our own. We've all failed. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, our righteousness is no longer has anything to do with what I do or what I don't do. Instead, God counts righteous those that simply believe him, especially when it comes to what he said about his son, Jesus Christ. So another way of putting this would be this. The prayer of a person that believes in Jesus, that puts their trust in God, is powerful and effective. So are you righteous? You bet you are. If you have put your faith in Jesus, God considers you righteous. Therefore, your prayers for other people are powerful and effective. You and I have a lot of power when it comes to prayer. And that power isn't because of anything that we've done or anything that's inherently in us. Our power in prayer comes from God. And you know what? I've been doing this for 22 years. I have never put this all together until this week. The whole God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is involved in the power that you and I have in prayer. First of all, the Almighty God, the Father, hears us when we pray. That's why your and my prayers are powerful, because of Jesus, he hears us. Look what it says in Matthew 7. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who simply ask him? Our power in prayer is because we have a powerful God listening to us. That's the first place that you and I find power. Secondly, our power in prayer is because the name of Jesus, his name, carries power. This is why we pray for people in the name of Jesus, because his very name has power. In Acts 4, the people of God in the early church were praying and they said, God, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. In Philippians 2, it says that all authority and power has now gone to Jesus and to his name because of what he did on that cross. In John 16, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Until now, Jesus said, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Jesus loves us so much, and his name has so much power that he says, use my name. When you're praying for yourself or when you're praying for one another, lay your hand on that person if you're right there with them and pray in the name of Jesus for that person, because the name itself comes with power. So God the Father hears us when we pray. The name of Jesus carries power. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we remember the same Holy Spirit who was in Jesus now lives in you and me. And that is power. Look at what it says in Acts 10. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism in the Jordan River. And from that point on, Jesus went around with the power of the Holy Spirit, healing and even raising people from the dead. Now look what it says in Romans 8. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is now living where? In you. The same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus that caused him to have the power to heal the sick and raise the dead and answer prayers of all kinds. The same Holy Spirit that then raised Jesus Christ up from the grave now through baptism lives in you and me. That's power. That's power. And so with all of this, God is saying, pray for one another. When you lay your hands on somebody, the Holy Spirit that's inside of you takes that touch point and reaches out to that person. And then you say, you pray a prayer, God the Father hears you. And then you finish the prayer in Jesus' name, and there's power again. God has given us every reason to pray for one another. And finally, he finishes this section by saying, Elijah was a human being, even just as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. He's saying, you know what? You may think that Elijah and all the other people in the Bible were some of these superhuman people of faith. They weren't. They were just like you and me. And Elijah, who was just like you and me, prayed, and with the power that God has given not only to him, but also to us, major things changed in the world. He's saying if Elijah can do that by the power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, then you can as well. And so the first of our installments of this Made for Community, God's Plan for Us sermon series is this. Go do it. Go pray for one another. It's good to say, I'll pray for you as long as you do it. But it's even better if you just say, you know what? I may forget a little later on. Can I pray for you right now? I've heard these amazing stories from people in this congregation that have stopped right there in Cub Foods and said, you know what? Could I just say a little prayer for you right now? Almost every time the other person will say, yeah, sure. And then they lay their hand on that person and pray for them. When we do that, because of what Jesus did for us, it carries great power. It's powerful and effective. So go, family of God, and pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.